You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
All right, good evening, 7 p.m. service. We're down to the fourth installment of our cross-check series. If you're new here, you've just been invited, maybe you missed out some of our past installments, or you don't know what this series is all about, our cross-check series is all about reminding us what it means to be a follower of Christ. Because oftentimes, in our walk with God, you know, as we grow in our walk with the Lord, and as we continue to follow Jesus, oftentimes we forget that there's actually some expectations on our end. When we talk about, you know, being Christians, being a follower of Christ is not just us coming to God, na, Lord, grant me this, give me this, Lord, muna akong prayer request. It's not just us going to God and demanding, asking Him to do certain things, but it's actually expectations on our end as well. It's kind of like when you sign a contract, diba, between two parties or three parties. A contract exists to bind two people or two parties. Both of them have certain expectations. I do this for you and you get to do this for me. And sometimes when people sign a contract or an agreement, they totally miss out na napoy something on their end that they have to do. How many of you are familiar with this one right here? Sa internet or when you download something or whatever, di ba? I agree to the terms and conditions. Anyone here, you just skip it through. Parang agree dayon. You don't really read. Also, agree ni mo. You might be shocked what you've agreed. I'm just sharing this because, again, sometimes as Christians, we have this wrong notion na, you know, being a Christian is just receive lang ta kang God. Lord, do this for me. Do this for me. Nag-church naman ko, Lord. But being a follower of Christ, there are certain things we need to do. That's what we've talked about over the past few weeks. This week, for the fourth week, we're going to talk about facing troubles. In other words, tonight, we're going to talk about problems. Can you still sit with me for a while? We're going to talk about problems. On the onset, that title, parang, that's not the most, you know, fun topic there is. Okay, but this is very important because here's the thing. Following Jesus involves suffering and troubles. We need to tackle this because as believers of Christ, we need to be aware that suffering, challenges, problems, it's all part of the package when we follow Jesus. Christianity does not promise a problem-free or easy life. Again, dili hakuna matata ang life sa pagka-Kristiyano. A lot of times, we buy things, we subscribe to programs, or we want to do things that makes our life easier, more comfortable. Now, I'm not saying there's no breakthrough or blessing when we follow God. There is, okay? There's a lot of that. By all means, believe for breakthroughs, blessing, prosperity. Believe for all of those things, and those things will happen to you. But far from it that we forget that there's also suffering and troubles and problems when we follow Jesus. Meaning there's nothing wrong with you, there's nothing weird or out of the ordinary if you suffer for Christ's sake. Okay, that's part of the package and we're going to learn more about that. So, if you have your Bibles with you, can you turn to John chapter 16, verse 30. I'm going to be basing on this verse, but I'm going to look at several verses of John chapter 16. But I'm going to use this one as a launchpad verse. It says here in verse 33, if I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So, a couple of things about the verse or the passage that we're in right now. When Jesus said this, when he said all of this, that you're going to have problems, this was going to happen to you, this is basically moments away from Jesus being captured and eventually being led to his crucifixion. He had only moments left with his disciples, more specifically, his apostles. Gamay na lang time na bilin niya. And to prepare them for the sorrow, the pain, and what's gonna happen moments later, which they could not yet fully comprehend that this was gonna happen to their Messiah, to their teacher, to their friend, okay, to Jesus. Jesus taught them a lot of things in the entirety of John chapter 16, going all the way back to John chapter 14. And he concludes in verse 33, it says there, in the world, you will have tribulation. If you heard what I said earlier in this installment, when I said we're going to have problems and suffering, and you don't want to believe that, if you feel like we just made that up, no. The Bible specifically says, and Jesus says, that in this world, we will have tribulation. We will experience tribulations or problems or obstacles, things that will stress us. We will suffer for Jesus' sake. Okay, now the big question is, why do we experience all of these things? Why did Jesus say, you will experience tribulation? Ano man na tribulation? Ano man na hardships Jude in life when we follow Jesus? Where's the thing? If we want to have a clear biblical perspective about our world, we need to understand our location, where we're living now. We live in a fallen world, and that's why there is tribulation. Ultimately, the biggest reason why there's tribulation, suffering, hardship, pain, suffering in our world is because we live in a fallen world. If you go all the way back to the story of creation in Genesis chapter 3, when man sinned against God and sin entered the world, sin basically corrupted all of creation, man included. Sin spread throughout the world. That's why we have all this problem. That's why there's suffering. We live in a fallen world. Romans 8 verse 22 to 23 says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies," meaning until we get to be with God, okay, at the end of days when we experience our salvation, we will experience hardships, trials, and persecutions, tribulations in this world. Now, some reasons for tribulations, again, because of the fallen nature of our world, there's some basic causes. Our sin, okay, our unwise decisions, an enemy, Satan and demons, accidents, calamities, fallenness of the world, as we said a while ago, and righteousness, when you suffer for the sake of Jesus. When you want to honor God and stand up for God, sometimes that will lead you to hardships and tribulations. And oftentimes, what we need to do when we encounter these things is, if it's sin, we need to repent. But for the rest, we need to endure. Okay, tear sit with for a while. Endure. Okay, we need to endure tribulations because tribulations are to be expected. We need to endure them, and I'm going to talk on later on why we need to endure and what they do for us. But here's the thing. Knowing that tribulations exist in this world, and meaning we should not be surprised that we get to experience them, that they are to be expected. It's kind of like when you were a student, if you graduated, or if you're a student now, again, kasi mga estudyante dere. Diba, students, 100%, I guarantee siguro na at one point in your life, diba, na-stress siguro mo sa pagka-estudyante. Diba? Anyone here, you got stressed because of your studies, when your exams piled up, when you had to finish a project, mga group work on ta, pwede ka rosa. Okay, when you had to study for something and you promised, "Lord, 2 hours lang ko matulog," but then you woke up at 8 a.m. na. At one point or another, we all have those, you know, stressful situations when we were students. Guaranteed na when you become a student, okay, you will encounter problems, challenges in your studies. If wala kay problema ever sa studies nimo, for sure, wala dyan ka ni saludo klase siguro. It's part of the package. You cannot escape from the fact that if you're a student, there will be hardship. There will be challenges. But the same thing as a believer of Christ. When you follow Jesus, there will be tribulations. It's to be expected. In fact, John 16 verse 32 says here, "Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come." This is Jesus talking to his disciples. "When you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone, yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me." He's basically telling them, you know what, you'll have tribulations. In fact, it's going to be so great that you're going to leave me. Biyahan ko ninyo at one point. In verse 2 to 3, Jesus even says, "Now, at one point in your life, guys, you will be put out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God." They will all experience and suffer these things. Verse 3, "And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me." Okay, these are all the hardships of the apostles. And basically to prepare his disciples for the oncoming sorrow that's caused by the tribulations that they're about to experience, Jesus says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace." So here's the good news. Yes, there will be challenges and tribulations in our lives. And here's the thing. When we encounter tribulations, when we endure for the sake of Christ, yes, it is painful. I'm not downplaying or belittling anything that some of us may be experiencing now. If you're experiencing any form of tribulation, it may be painful and it's discomforting and it hurts. But here's the thing. There is also a purpose to that. Sometimes we suffer for Christ's sake. And as we suffer, as we endure, we end up being reminded ourselves that we need God in our lives. There's a purpose to why we suffer. But not just that. As we suffer, as we endure, here's the good thing. Jesus mentioned to his disciples that, "I have taught you several things to prepare you, to ready you for the oncoming sorrow caused by the tribulations." In other words, for all of us here today, if ever you encounter tribulations in your life, there is a way to sort of, you know, brace for impact. Let's say, for example, you're in a plane that's about to crash. Diba? You need to brace for impact. Yes, Mashaken ang plane, you're still gonna get injured probably, and you know, it's gonna feel really bad and painful. But here's something, when you brace for impact, it could save your life. It could prevent further injury when you ready yourself for the incoming crash. In the same way, Jesus prepared or readied his disciples for the sorrow to come. He told several things, but I'm gonna highlight two things that he mentioned to his disciples to prepare them. The first of which, in John 16, verse 15, he basically says, guys, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go back to the Father. You're not going to see me in a while anymore. And the second thing that he said in verse 16 of John chapter 16 also, he says that he was basically going to die. Now, when you look at those two statements, parang, wait, sabi na ko, i-prepare sila for the oncoming sorrow. Diba, kana palang daan, sorrowful na kayo. Diba, kana palang daan, it sounds so sad. How can this prepare and ready the disciples for the oncoming sorrow that they're about to experience? Parang, why did Jesus tell them he was gonna leave? Biyan sila. At the same time, that he was gonna die. How was he gonna help them? And yet, in verse 17, says here, nevertheless. Nevertheless meaning, yes, sakit ni, I'm gonna leave. Okay, I'm gonna die. But nevertheless, says here, I tell you the truth, that it is to your advantage that I go away. Jesus says, it's to your advantage. Peter, James, John, Andrew, it's to your advantage, it's to your benefit. And for us, church, it's to our benefit as well that Jesus left, went back to the Father, and he died. Okay? There's a whole point to that. It's to our advantage. And basically says here, the first reason why it's to our advantage that he was to leave us is because it says here, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is talking about a helper that's gonna come. And this isn't just any ordinary helper. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, if I go, if I leave, the Holy Spirit is gonna come down upon you. He's gonna be here for you, with you. And that's gonna be to your advantage, to your benefit. Yes, there's sorrow and pain and suffering and tribulations right here. You're gonna experience them in a little while. But guess what? Because I'm gonna leave, it's to your advantage because firstly, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And this is a very big deal. We need the Holy Spirit for us to live victorious lives, church. As a believer, if you want to live victoriously, you want to be an overcomer, you want to have breakthroughs in your lives, we need the Holy Spirit in us. Because the Holy Spirit does a lot of things for us, for our benefit. I'm just going to name three of them. Firstly, He convicts us of our sin. The Holy Spirit is not some force, by the way. He's the third person of the Godhead. He's God, basically. And what the Holy Spirit does is that He convicts us of our sin. Okay? To convict, okay, means to expose, to convince, to show to us the wrong things we've done. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. Whenever you've done something wrong, when you've sinned against God and you feel that nudge or that uncomfortable feeling deep down in you, that's the Holy Spirit working in your heart. He convicts us of our sin. Secondly, He leads us into all truth. So if you're here today, you're a new believer and you started reading the Word of God and maybe you feel intimidated to read ba? Because you feel like, how can I understand the Word of God? Nosebleed. Okay, how can I read the Word of God? Dili ko theologian, dili ko gikag seminary and all that. Here's the thing, even if you don't have a degree in theology, you can read the Bible. And that's possible because the Holy Spirit enables us to understand the truth. It says here, He leads us into all truth. In fact, He's the Spirit of truth. He makes it possible for us to understand what we read in the Bible. So if ever you find yourself reading the Bible as you meditate on it, and maybe at one point in your life, there was that situation, uy, nagets na dyan ako. You know what? That's the Holy Spirit working in you as well. When you're listening to your victory group leader or to your discipler, to your one-to-one, and they're sharing something to you about the Bible, they're talking to you something, they're using a certain verse, and you understood, that's the Holy Spirit working in you. Or if you're the victory group leader, you're the one trying to disciple someone, and the guest name mo, imong na-share and all that, that's the Holy Spirit enable you to do so as well. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And it's very important because without the Holy Spirit, it would be impossible for us to understand what we read in the Bible. We need the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit, what He does is that He glorifies Jesus. As the Holy Spirit is in us, He glorifies Jesus. The Bible says, when two or three are gathered, I am there with them. That's Jesus talking. And that's why it is to our benefit that even though Jesus left physically this world, He is with all of us spiritually. Because here's the thing, again, Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Basically, when Jesus left us physically, that means He could be with all of us spiritually. Meaning, wherever you are, church, in your homes, communities, in your workplace, in your campus, here's the thing. As a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit is with you 24/7. The Holy Spirit is with you 24/7 to do all of this and much more. In fact, the Bible says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, prays for us. It does a lot of things for us, and this is all important if we want to live victoriously. If we want to be able to endure suffering and overcome obstacles, we need the Holy Spirit. It's to our advantage. Kita receive it for a while. It's for your benefit. Okay, parang di mo convince ng benefit para niyo. It's for your benefit that we get to receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, look at the apostles. Before Jesus left them, they were selfish. They were proud. They wanted to compare. All of them were the greatest. They were fearful. They all ran away when Jesus was captured. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And their minds were very limited. They couldn't fully understand what Jesus was trying to teach to them. A lot of times, they got it wrong. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them on Pentecost, prime example, Peter, this fearful guy, impulsive guy, you know. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he had the boldness, the courage to go out of their room and start preaching the gospel. When the Holy Spirit came upon these guys, they grew in knowledge, wisdom, courage, that they were willing to die for Jesus' sake. They were willing to suffer for Jesus' sake. They became great leaders of the early church. These seemingly ordinary people, fishermen, tax collectors, ordinary people. And yet God was able to use them mightily. And they were able to do an amazing job. And it's because they were so skilled, their connections, their resources, by no means. It was because the Holy Spirit was with them. The Holy Spirit empowered them to perform many great things, miracles included. And that's why the Holy Spirit is to our benefit, church. Imagine this, the same Holy Spirit that Peter and the rest of the apostles received or had an experience with is the same Holy Spirit that's in your life right now. The same Holy Spirit that empowered them over thousands of years ago is the same Holy Spirit that empowers you today to live victoriously, to glorify God. That's the same Holy Spirit right there. And it's to our benefit and advantage. That's why, again, that's why Jesus said, I'm going to go back to the Father. But it's for your benefit. The second thing, in verse 16, Jesus says, a little while and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, you will see me. Imagine a puzzle and disciples because they thought, you're going to leave us, maybe permanently, maybe more than a lifetime na. But why do you say, you will see me naman again in a little while? Verse 17, some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Parang peekaboo. Hi, you won't see me, you will see me. Jesus, unsa pasabot nimo ani? And because I am going to the Father. Parang, okay, Jesus, you're gonna go to the Father, but what's this other stuff about you seeing us again? What does this all mean? Nalibog sila, na-confused sila. There's the thing. As I mentioned earlier, these are the exact verses that Jesus talked about or implied about his coming death. Now again, he had spoken about his death several times to his disciples. At one time, Peter tried to rebuke him for it, but then he ended up being rebuked by Jesus naman. And basically, Jesus here naman is implying or trying to make them understand that he was gonna die. In verse 20, he says here, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. He's talking about his death. That the way to go back to the Father, yes, he's going to live physically, but his way to do that was not just parang, okay guys, goodbye, poof. It was not that. His way, his path to the Father was to die on a cross for our sins. His path to the Father was through crucifixion. That was how he was going to leave us, physically speaking. He was going to die on a cross for us, and he was going to resurrect. That's why he was going to see them again in a little while. Okay, ma-resurrect pa siya. But before all that, he was going to die. His disciples were going to experience extreme sorrow. They're going to weep. They're going to lament. And why? Because of these things. They're going to experience the loss and humiliation of Jesus. They're going to witness Jesus being dragged, being crucified, whipped. He's going to die. They're gonna see the seeming victory of their enemies to all who oppose Jesus. Parang temporarily for them, they would say parang lahat nakadaog sila. They killed Jesus. And for them, it would feel as if all hope seemed lost or gone. And yet, here's the thing. Jesus said, yes, you will weep, you will lament, but your sorrow will turn into joy. Your sorrow will turn to joy. Parang how can sorrow turn to joy? And very perfectly, Jesus uses this amazing illustration. He says, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. She's sad because, of course, she's about to experience the greatest pain in her life. Mothers, I guess you know this way better than any of us men. But when she has delivered the baby, after the suffering, after the pain, after the tears, blood has been spilled, after everything that she's experienced, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. When the mother gets to see her newborn child, gets to embrace her baby, all the pain, suffering, anguish that she just experienced, all of that fades away because all she can think about is the joy of embracing her child. Her sorrow turned to joy. Her sorrow produced the joy that she is experiencing. And that's why Jesus says, your sorrow will turn to joy. Because yes, I'm going to die. I'm going to leave you for a while. You're going to see all these bad things happening. But guess what? There's going to be joy later on. Because I am going to be resurrected. I'm going to come back. Death will not hold him. We were singing that song a while ago, Overcome the World. It says there, but death could not hold him. Or death could not keep him in the grave. John 16 verse 22 says, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Again, talk about his resurrection. And your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Here's the thing. When Christ, because Christ resurrected from the dead, nothing and nothing else can take away that joy from them, from the disciples. Because death could not hold him. Immortal, he could not die again. Therefore, nothing could rob them of their joy to see Jesus, the Messiah, be resurrected, to affirm all that he had told them, all that he had taught to them throughout their time of ministry, that truly assured ang salvation that this is the Messiah who came to save the world. And what this means for us, church, is that yes, we will suffer. There will be problems in our lives, but here's the thing. We can have a kind of joy that nothing else can take it away from us. We will have a kind of joy that nothing in this world will be able to take that away from us. And that is Jesus. Jesus, who died on the cross, who resurrected, all of that for our benefit. We just did communion a while ago. You know what? You may suffer immense pain in this world, but that's nothing compared to the glory that awaits when we get to be with Jesus. That's why there is joy up ahead when we get to be with Him. And nothing can take away that joy. Your salvation, the assurance of your salvation, nothing can take that away. It's not bound by economics, by your current status, your health, your studies, your work. All those things may fail and fall, but as long as you have Jesus in you, you have that ultimate joy. And nothing in this world can take that away from you. With that being said, that begs the question, now what? Okay, after learning all of these things that Jesus did, basically Jesus says, you're going to have tribulations in this world. Bad things are going to happen to you. But guess what? I have taught you several things to prepare for you for this very reason. I'm going to leave. The Holy Spirit is going to be upon you. That's for your advantage. I'm going to die, but I'm going to be resurrected. And that's for your advantage as well, because you're going to have your sins forgiven. I've come to save you from your sins, and that's all for your advantage. But yes, many tribulations. Now, what does this mean for us, church? How does this greatly change the way we view and endure hardships and tribulations? Firstly, let the Holy Spirit work in you. A lot of times when we face challenges, tribulations, we forget that we have the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, we dwell and get consumed with our problems. Diba? Anyone here, you've tried na, you know, with the merry moment, pag matani mo, hala akong exam, hala akong trabaho, hala akong bayrananan. The very moment we wake up, patay akong research paper, nakatulog ko. Kung mga guilty, ni katawa. Hala akong exam, patay, duwa ra kalinya ako na toon. Okay. We're also consumed with our problems. Diba? Sometimes when you're eating, masaya ganoon na nimo, ah, wala lang. You're thinking about your problem, kung naligo ka, mura pa yung matink nimo. All throughout the day, we dwell and get consumed with worries and anxieties. Again, I'm not saying that we ignore our problems. I'm not saying that, Lord, wala kayo problema. I ignore. I deny. Dili na na. But what I'm saying is rather than be consumed with that, be reminded that the Holy Spirit is with you. Rely on the grace that comes from the Holy Spirit. If you're in need of wisdom, ask wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me. I have wisdom in this area in my life. If you need courage, boldness to do something, rely, ask from the Holy Spirit to help you. Let the Holy Spirit work in your lives. Be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Secondly, we overcome through Jesus. We want to overcome our trials. We want to get through them and not be destroyed by them. We overcome through Jesus. John 16 verse 30 says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Jesus says, yes, bad things are going to happen, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I am victorious. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, and it's for our benefit. For everyone who has been born of God, birthed again through Jesus, has overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Let your statement for a while. Overcomer ka. We're all overcomers. And it's not because of our abilities, our strengths. It's because of our faith. It's because of Jesus. He overcome the world, and therefore, because of our faith, we have been birthed again through salvation. Okay, we have this new life. Because of what He did, we get to partake. We get to be part of that victory. Parang, okay, Lord, You want the victory for us? We want a piece of that as well. And we get to have that victory because we have been born again by God. We get to overcome the world. Last but not the least, take heart. Tell your other statement for a while. Take heart. What does it mean to take heart? Not take into heart. To take heart, firstly says here, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. To take heart means to have one's confidence, courage, happiness, all that, bolstered by something, meaning to be boosted and strengthened. Meaning it's to have your courage, your confidence be strengthened. And in our context, when He says take heart, when Jesus said take heart, have your courage and have your boldness, your confidence be strengthened. Why? Asang source ana? Kin Jesus gyapon. Because He says, I have overcome the world. You can be confident. You can be courageous. You can have joy in your life even in the midst of the biggest tragedy. Because you can take heart because I have overcome the world. Take heart. I want to end with this quote from John Piper talking about tribulations in the world. It says here, yes, there will be tribulation. It's to be expected. It's there. But here's the thing. The world that makes us so sorrowful, the world that tries to attack us, oppress us, will not have the last word. Whatever it is that you're suffering in our church, the world will not have the last say when it comes to your suffering. It is God. When you endure for Christ's sake, He will be faithful to reward you. I may not fully understand what you're going through right now, but God does. Jesus sees that. To all those who honor Him, who stand up for Him, who endure for His sake, He'll be faithful to honor and reward all those who do so. Again, facing or following Jesus involves troubles and suffering, church. But it doesn't mean that we get that, no, ma-destroy ta, or we give up sa walk nato with God. But rather, even when all of these things are present, we can still choose to follow Jesus because this will not end in our walk with God. Christ has enabled us to overcome suffering and troubles with the Holy Spirit and because He has overcome the world.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.